read from Brother Ezekiel, 37th chapter of Ezekiel. You got your Bibles, you can turn over into the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I want to read a little bit, talk with you. I don't know whether I'll say anything that benefits you or not. The Lord knows. I trust that I will. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Reading here in the book of Ezekiel, reading about the valley of dry bones, what took place, there is a wonderful, wonderful lesson to be learned here in the things concerning the Spirit of God. In the preaching of Ezekiel, I like the simple way that the prophet Ezekiel expresses himself. He speaks after this fashion, said that the hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. You know, when you say the hand of the Lord was upon me, he said the hand of the Lord was upon me and it picked me up and it carried me out into a valley. Now then, when you say the hand of the Lord is upon me, you know, a person that would be natural minded would then say to Ezekiel, you say that the hand of the Lord was upon you. Now then, if the hand of the Lord was upon you, what did the hand of the Lord look like? And so then Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. But he gave no description of what it looked like. He just said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And yet the Bible teaches God is a spirit. Now then the question would be, where did God touch him with his hand? Then he said, the voice of the Lord said unto me, prophesy. And then the question would be, what did his voice sound like? What kind of sound did it make? Like a bird? Like an animal? Did it sound like a man? Did it sound like the leaves rustling in the tree? In other words, what I'm trying to express is that we do not understand spiritual things. We have to learn to know what God is saying. When Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," I do not believe that a hand came down like my hand and picked Ezekiel up and set him over here. I don't believe that. But I believe that Ezekiel was trying to express that the Spirit of God, the power and the presence of the Lord came down. And that great Spirit and power picked him up, moved him, and took him over into a valley of dry bones and set him down there. I believe that when the voice of the Lord spoke to him, I don't believe that it was a voice like you hear. I don't believe that. But I believe it was a spiritual voice that spoke to him. I believe it was a spiritual inspiration that came to him. That the prophets of old was tuned into heaven, and their spirit could contact God's spirit, and that God's Spirit could communicate with their spirit. I believe that that's why Paul said that we ought to be spiritual. Because God is a spirit. As long as we are carnally minded, we can't see God. As long as we are naturally minded, we can't hear God. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. The Bible tells us that God is in our midst when two or three of us come together. That I am in the midst of you. But then the carnal mind would say, but where is God? If God is in the midst of us, I don't see God. Where is God? But the spiritual mind wouldn't say that. The Bible tells us that God is inside of human beings. That God hides himself behind the badger skin. That God is in the holies of holies. And he hides himself from the eyes of mankind. You see the tabernacle and you see the goat hair. And you see the badger skin that the Old Testament speaks of. But you don't see God. Having eyes, you see not God. Because you do not have God eyes. Having ears, you don't hear God nor his voice. Jesus said you've never seen his shape at any time. He said, you've never heard his voice. Isn't that something? There Jesus stood, the image and shape of God. And there Jesus was talking, the voice of God. And he said to them, said, you've never seen his shape at any time nor heard his voice. Why would he say that? Because they was listening to the natural side of life. They heard a man's voice, Jesus. They saw a man's image, Jesus. But see, the things of God are spiritually discerned. It takes a discernment, a spiritual discernment. You have to be spiritual. When you come to be spiritual, then you spiritually discern things. People walk into my presence, and when they walk into my presence, I don't see their human form, though I see it with my natural eyes. I do not know a man after the flesh. But I see beyond the veil. I see the man's disposition. I see his nature, his character. I see the expression of the inward man coming forth. And then I know him. I know who he is. I know what he is. Because I see him as he is. The Bible tells us at the coming of the Lord that we'll know him because we shall see him as he is. How will that be? As a spirit, as a revelation, as that God that he really is. God is a spirit. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for that natural form of God to come down here in the earth, Brother Pike. I'm looking for that natural form, and I know someday a natural form is coming down here in the earth. That is true. But you would not recognize it if it came. Because you don't understand him. He walked in the midst of them, and there he stood. And he told the people, said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. But they still didn't understand him. They still couldn't see him. We've got people here tonight that will dispute the fact that Jesus is here tonight. But he's here. I know that he's here. Jesus is here tonight. So then why do we not have any excitement in the services? Why do we not come together with an enthusiasm? Why is it we have no expectation? That is why we do not get anything from God. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, if Jesus was here, it would be different. No, it would not be any different. See, because He is here. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, Jesus could not come in here and it would be the same, but it would be the same because He did come in here. The Scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus walked in the midst of the people, hundreds and thousands of people flocked around Him. Many people got nothing, not anything. But on one occasion, a little woman had some faith. He had a congregation like I've got a congregation, but nobody was getting anything according to the Bible. But there was a little woman that believed. God is a spirit. She come in expectation. She had a need in her body. She was looking for something, and she came to see where it was. And she came believing, and she got it. Like the man that come to the house today, he come believing for a word of God, he got it. A few days ago, a man came from out of South Georgia looking for a word of God, he got it. You know why he got it? He expected it, he believed it, and God gave it to him. Many of you stay here and never get a word of God. You know why? Because you don't believe it. You don't expect it. You don't know what it is. That's right. Isn't that wonderful? How that God can do that? To me, that thrills me. To know that 5,000 people can sit around and get nothing from God because He's got it hid. One person can come in like a prodigal and have a feast. I like that. I like the way God does things. Hallelujah. So then you don't get anything from God because you don't expect anything. Like Brother Oral Roberts said one time, to get a miracle, you've got to expect a miracle. Somebody would say, well, didn't he just pray and heal the multitudes? I read one time where he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He never got anything. Finally turned and said, well, there's one thing about it. I believe in the law of average. If I pray for enough people, I'm bound to find somebody with faith after a while. And finally he hit a stream and somebody believed and the thing broke loose and he had a meeting. It's like I told my wife today, I said, Betty, the thing that discourages me with the people is they don't believe. I said, they come to church. Yes, they come to church. They give in the offering. I said, they sit there. They believe that I'm a preacher. But I said, they don't believe when it comes to the supernatural, when it comes to expecting anything from God, when it comes to really believing that God Himself is in their presence, they don't believe that. They don't expect that. So they don't get anything. What caused the Spirit of God to pick Ezekiel up? It was because he believed. What caused them men to go into the presence of the eternal God? It was because they believed. What caused Enoch to be translated? It was because he believed. What caused Elijah to be able to be carried away on a fire chariot? It was because he believed. How did Jesus transfigure himself before the people? It was because he believed. Isn't it a true fact, the one thing that Christ said concerning the end time is that shall he find faith in the earth at his coming? Or didn't he say that it was a faithless generation? Didn't he say that? Faithless generation. Said the last generation would be lukewarm, Laodicean. That would say we're rich, have need of nothing. But they wouldn't be a believing generation. They would be an unbelieving generation. You know, people have the feeling that we're all getting closer and closer and closer to God. They really believe that. The church world believes, even in their charismatic order, that they're getting closer to God all the time. But according to all of the Holy Scriptures, they are farther from God than they've ever been. They are lukewarm. And they're getting farther and farther and farther away from God. Not closer. And wicked men are waxing worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We don't understand God. That's where our problem is. We don't understand Him. And we don't listen long enough to try to understand Him. We don't have enough perseverance to make any special effort to understand Him. Brother Denny was telling me today, said, Brother Pike, I've been all around Oregon, Florida, all around California. He said, there's not anything anywhere. Said, I can't find anything anywhere. Said, everything is dried up. Do you want to dry up here too? Do you? I had a vision, and everything dried up, and it became dusty. And the very Spirit of God lifted. And something said, there's no need to write a book. The multitudes faded away. The earth turned into a powder. It was horrible. You know what causes that? Is not seeking the Lord, not being concerned about God, feeling that we're rich, have need of nothing, not getting down to business with God. Did you know that this very day I had the wonderful presence of God with me? That I had the wonderful communication with God and heard God speak to me and talk back to Him this very day? You can have the Lord with you in the driest kind of times. You know what evil spirits do? They wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. You know what happens when you get out of the will of God? You wander through dry places and you can't find a spiritual refreshing in God. That's what's wrong with a lot of you out there now. You're wandering through dry places. You don't find any peace. Day or night, you don't find any peace. Because the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. And you're wandering through dry places. God isn't speaking to you. God isn't watering your parched ground. You're not bringing forth any fruits to perfection. You're not getting anything from God. You know why? Because you're not seeking anything. You're not hungry for anything. You're not searching. You're not thirsting for anything. You're satisfied. Lukewarm, Laodicea. Filled, have need of nothing. Tonight, if I took you one by one and stood you up here, I would have a hard time finding one person in the congregation that was genuinely hungry for the things of God. You know, I'm so thankful to God that I have a thirst. I have a hunger. Out of all the great revelation that God has given me, I still hunger and thirst for the things of God. My heart paints for God like the heart does the water brook, David said. I thirst for God. I hunger for God. I desire God. More than all of life itself, I desire God. The Spirit of God is in our midst. The Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Spirit that come down upon Ezekiel. The same Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same God is here today. It isn't that God has changed. It isn't that God has left. It's that you have withdrawn yourself from God. The Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. It's not that His arm is so short that it cannot reach you. The Bible said the arm of God isn't short that it cannot reach you. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Or who hath believed our report, though our sounds went into the ends of the earth? So then, God is a spirit, but are we spiritual? God is a spirit, but are we spiritual? Are you not yet carnal, Paul said? Whereas there's envying among you, there's strife among you, there's desire for vanity and worldly things, are you not yet carnal? But then where is the Spirit of God? Where is being spiritual? Why is it we're not spiritual? Whereas he said we have need that someone teaches when we ourselves ought to be teachers of others. This be the very beginning of the principles and the oracles of God. Let us leave the foundation of repentance and let us go on, he said. There's something else to do. Are you just going to repent every day of your life? Every day of your life? Are you just going to do things and think things and say things and fuss and feud and every day spend all of your day repenting over and over instead of going on to be with God in the great things of God and instead of growing up into the Lord, instead of going on to perfection and finding greater things? Are we just going to repent over and over and lay the foundation of the house over and over and never really go on with God? That's what some of you are doing. That's what some of you are doing. You're not building the house, but you're just laying the foundation of repentance over and over and over. When you do that, you become dead. You become lifeless. God doesn't move in your midst. Why? What would make any difference who came? God would not move in your midst. If the Lord Jesus walked among you as you would think of him, he could do nothing, not anything. Said he walked in their midst and could do nothing among them because of their unbelief. Why? Because it wasn't Jesus doing it. Jesus was flesh and bones. It wasn't him doing it. He could do it no more than Brother Gary could do it, because it's not Brother Gary that does it. It's not Jesus that does it. It is the Spirit of God that does it. He said it is the Father that doeth the work, that God is a Spirit. When Brother Branham walked in their midst, he could do nothing among them. There's been services that he and Freddie Gray and other great men have dismissed the service and went home because there was no faith. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because there was no faith. Tonight, I feel no faith here. I don't feel any faith here tonight. I don't feel any expectation here tonight. We're at church? Sure, we're at church. But God is a spirit. To bring God into our midst, what do we have to do? We have to believe. We have to hunger. We have to thirst. We have to have a desire. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's where you're wrong. I know that I believe. Most likely you're the one in the greatest unbelief. With that kind of confidence, that proves that you don't have anything. You know, the man that's got faith, not the man that's so confident that he got it, but the Bible said the man that trembles at my word, the man that shakes and trembles at my word, that is faith. You know why that's faith? Because the man that's trembling believes there's something going on, and that's why he trembles. Faith. When the minister gets up and speaks, why does he speak like he does? How do you know that it's God? It's because if he's a real God-called minister, deep down inside of his heart, he believes that that is God speaking to the people. And because he believes it, then it is God. Because God honors faith. Faith never comes but what God honors it. When a person gets up to prophesy, they prophesy according to their proportion of faith. You know what makes that God? Is because in their heart they believe that that's God speaking. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that's just got an ambition that'll jump up and in their head they get the idea that God wants to use them. And they say, I believe it, so I'm going to prophesy. I'm not talking about believing. I'm talking about faith. With the heart comes faith. That's what God calls believing unto salvation. When a man really, truly believes in his heart that God is moving upon him, and he's sitting there and all of a sudden he feels something, and he believes God is moving, and he feels stirred, and he feels something drawing, pulling at him. Then all of a sudden something hits his heart, and he begins to believe, and when he does, then he jumps up and he begins to say, yea, thus saith the Lord. That's God. That's the voice of the eternal God. Because that's a member of his body. That man believed. The Bible said, we believe, therefore have we spoken. The prophets of old, they knew when God's Spirit come upon them. A lot of times they'd have a timbrel and they'd sing a song. And they'd play a little music to create the right atmosphere so that they could believe that the anointing of God could come down upon them and the Spirit of God could come down. That way, it caused them to speak as the oracle of God. If a man speaketh, the Bible said, let him speak as the oracle of God. But where is your faith tonight? Jesus said, where is your faith? Where is your faith tonight? Where is the unction of God that stirs you? That causes you to be zealous for God. It causes you to believe that you might operate the spiritual gifts that's in the church. Where is that at? You understand what I'm saying? to believe. To believe. Why do you have to have somebody to inspire your faith? Why is it you don't believe that you might inspire somebody else's faith? Why is it you come to church expecting somebody to inspire your faith instead of coming to church expecting to inspire somebody's faith? You know why you do that? It's because you don't pray. You don't seek God. Therefore, you don't have any confidence that you can inspire anybody. So you just come expecting somebody to give you a lift. You know, like a person, they never buy a car. They always hitchhike. Always want to ride on somebody else. They never help pay the bill. Fast a little, to pray a little, to study a little, to get away in solitude a little, to help carry the load a little bit. Like tonight, you're as dead as you can be. Dead. There's nothing there. You know why? Because you've not been with God. Today in my room, the Spirit of God was moving there. That was just me and Him. Tonight, all of us are here. He's not moving. He's not moving. Why? What was it He was moving in my room, just He and I? You know why? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you believe, that takes care of it. No, it doesn't. If that takes care of it, why did Jesus say, you just stay out of this room and let me have brother such and such and such and such? Why is it that He just picked certain people to take with Him to pray? You know why? Because He wanted the strength of their faith as He called on the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's right. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you believe, you believe. No. That's not all there is to it. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. You might have faith, but you might be weak in faith. But the Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. What could three do? If one of them suffer, they all suffer. In what way? Just because you sit on a bench, I don't suffer. If your unbelief is there, then we all suffer. Because you injure. How do you injure? It's just like somebody closing this door to keep the winter wind out, and you open that door and let the winter wind in. The place is still cold. The heaters might be burning, but the place still got a chill on it. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then you don't expect anything. You know why God leaves the people? The Bible said He left the land of His nativity. He left it. You know why? He went away. He said, a prophet's without honor in his own country. They said, we've heard that you've done such and such over yonder in that country. Why don't you do it here in your own country? Is that what he said? Now we heard that you went over there and did it. Why don't you do it here? And Jesus said, the prophet is not without honor save in his own country, among his own people. When the Lord said to Brother Branham, leave and go west, they will not feed. Why did he do that? Brother Branham was a great man of God. Why did he do that? Why did the prophets of old tell Israel that they were going to withdraw? Why did God tell the prophets of Israel, don't go to Israel anymore? Why? Folks, you don't understand. You don't know what's happening. You sit there when I try to talk with you, and I try to tell you something, and I try to wake you up, and I get up here and I try to plead with you, and you sit there, you don't understand. Somebody said, well, it's flat tonight, Brother Pike. The service is flat tonight. And you're up there and we got you where we want you. You don't understand. You don't have me anywhere. The days of the Gentiles is closing out. And the middle of this year is going to do something. And you're helping the cause. Something is taking place. You don't understand that your feet are slipping into the fire. Something's happening to you. Your feet are slipping into the flames. Why? Because you don't believe. The Bible said God cut them off because of their unbelief. Why did He do that? Because of their unbelief, He cut them off. Because of their overconfidence, that they had God to themselves and that everything was all right. But God cut them off. Why did He do that? Because of their unbelief.
He said, these things happened for an example unto you, as an admonition unto you that was to come later, that ye should not follow in the steps that they did, that you should not do the things that they did, but beware lest I cut you off after the same example because of the evils of your unbelief. Something is taking place. See, what you don't understand is that when the preacher preaches the word, it doesn't matter if the Spirit of God hasn't failed one time in the congregation. You're still guilty before God, because the Spirit of God doesn't have to come down the way that you feel it does. You see, He is God's anointed. He doesn't have to get anointed. He is God's anointed. And when He speaks the word, then you're in trouble. Whether there's any atmosphere of God, whether there isn't. Prophets prophesied grieved. Prophets walked the land, they were grieved because of the hardness of the heart. Jesus, rather than getting anointed, as the people look for an anointing, the Bible said He was grieved because of the hardness of the heart. And He turned the tables over, and He popped the whip, and He called them hypocrites. A generation of vipers, He called them. See, it wasn't the anointed like you expect the anointing. He didn't have to get anointed. He was God's anointed. When He turned the table over, that was God's anointed doing that. When He popped the whip, that was God's anointed doing that. When the prophets was grieved, and the Bible said Jesus was grieved because of the hardness of their heart. You know, Jesus was grieved. You ever been grieved? A preacher get up and preach and he's grieved. Then that's not profitable to you. But a grieved minister is not profitable to you. So then if you help the cause of Satan and you sit in the seat of the scornful and you stand in the way of sinners, then you're in trouble with God because you grieve the minister. Not that I'm grieved. Though I could be grieved tonight, I could be grieved because there is no real faith and expectation among the people tonight. And I could be grieved because there's things that I'd like to say. But I'm not grieved for this reason, because I know that you're the one that's in trouble. Now, if I did not know what was going on, and if I did not know what was happening, and if I did not know that this was the divine ordination of God for this to happen, then I would be grieved. But knowing what He's doing, and knowing why that He's doing it, then I know that you're in trouble. And I know that you're in trouble because you deserve to be in trouble. Because of you sitting in the seat of the scornful. Because you stand in the way of sinners. Because you hinder the work of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, you deserve to be troubled. If you agree, that's right. If you do wrong, you deserve to be troubled. Now, it doesn't bother me, only in part, in that I don't like to see the innocent have to suffer with the wicked. But when one member suffer, they all suffer. I don't like to see them suffer. But nevertheless, that's God's plan. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. If there's a great outpouring of God's Spirit, then the whole congregation gets it. The tare gets just as much as the wheat does. If there is no water coming, then every one of them suffers. Every one of them suffers. They all rejoice together. They all suffer together. God has ordained it. But the Lord is letting you know something that you don't understand. He's letting it happen in your midst. Tonight it's happening in your midst. This morning it happened in your midst. Why? I did not pick this. Why did the Lord say, Ezekiel? Why did He say, these bones are very dry? Why did He say that? Said they're very dry. What did He have me to read that tonight? I didn't plan to read that, nor did I pick that out. You know why He did that? Because you're very dry, folks. Very, very dry. You're very dry. I know why you're dry. Because you're not praying. You're not seeking the Lord. You're taking the thing for granted. You're saying it's all right because God loves me and I know that God's with us and I know that we've got the message and I know everything's going to be all right, but you're very dry. That's why the Lord had me to read it. He set Ezekiel down in the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel wasn't dry. The Spirit of God was upon Ezekiel. I've talked to God today. The Spirit of God was upon me today in my bedroom. But he set him down in a valley of dry bones. And he said, prophesy to these bones. And he said, can they live again? He said, who are they? He said, it's the house of Israel. They're dry, very dry. I saw a drought. I saw a great drought setting on the people. They became very dry. And folks, it's setting in. It's like I told somebody today. You can fast, you can pray, but you don't bring a revival. You can't do anything because you're going to make it work. You can't do that. It's just like when Moses was on the mountain, he was getting a message. The people said, let's do something. We'll give an offering. You know what they did? They made a mess. Fasting and praying, studying, you can't make God do something because you do that. God's got, as the world calls it, his thing that he's going to do. He's got a time he's going to move. He's got a thing he's going to do. When he took Moses up on the mountain, he had a plan. He wasn't going to move until he fulfilled that plan. And Aaron and the ones in the valley couldn't wait on him. They got ambitious. Fasting and praying, what good is it, Brother Pike? If it won't make God move, then what good is it? Fasting and praying and studying and seeking God is not to make God to move, or somebody said to get God to move. You don't have to fast and pray to get God to move. God's moving all the time. Say, well, why do we do it? We fast and pray and study to make ourselves available and to get ourselves in condition to where when God does his thing, then he will use us in it. You don't hatch up something and say, we're going to do this and we're going to fast and we're going to get this and we're going to have us a ministry. That's foolish. That's childish. God's got a plan. He's doing something. When God had Moses on the mountain, the people should have been fasting and praying in the valley and asking God to get them in shape, that when Moses come down and the move of God started, that they could be used of God in the move of God. But because they were going to do what they wanted to do and work up something and work out something and get God to favor it, then when Moses came down and the move of God came, they were swallowed up and destroyed. So then people don't understand. They've got the wrong idea, the wrong concept. God has got something that he's doing, but you can't be a part of it because you're not fasting and praying. You're not seeking God. You're not calling on the Lord. You're not making yourself available. When we go to dig a ditch out here, I can only use those that make themselves available. Some of them come out there, I can't use at all. Though they're present, I can't use them because they don't have a mind to work. They're not really available. They're just present. People here tonight, you're present, but not available for the moving of the Spirit because you haven't made yourself conform to the Word and the ways of the Lord. There is a deadness among you. Jesus said, lukewarm, Laodicea, cold, indifferent. There is a deadness. When I dismiss tonight, you're the one that'll be sorry, not me. Somebody would say, well, you'll be sorry, not me. I'll not be sorry because I've already talked with him today. I've had my fill. He's fed me today. But you'll be sorry because it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go and you didn't get into it, nor did you come with expectation, nor did you do it because I didn't do the way you wanted me to do, or the way you wanted it to be done. He said, these bones are very dry. Can they live again? He said, Lord, you know. You know whether they can or not. They are very dry. All right, I want you to stand with me. I said some things tonight that's going to stay with you for a long time. But there was no moving of the Spirit tonight. You're very dry. You know when you move? When people sing. When the music starts, you'll come back to life. You know why? Because you're not in the Spirit. That's why. You're in the natural. And whatever there is that will drive away the evil spirit, then that's what helps you. It's where your mind is. You'll feel altogether different. And you'll get a lift like you did in the early part when they were singing. You got a lift. When the latter part comes, you've got a lift. Why? Because you're given to singing. You're not given to the Word. You're not given to the Word. Your hunger is not in the Word. Your thirst is not in the Word. Therefore, you have no life, Jesus said. Because you receive not my Word, you have no life in you. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. You know, you can go to a funeral and there's life, though somebody be dead. You know why? Because of the music. Folks sit and cry, not because they're concerned about the man in the casket. I've seen them before the music started. There was no concern. They'd be laughing and talking. The man would be laying over the casket. They pay no attention to him. Be sitting there eating, drinking, laughing and talking. But when the music started, they start crying. That's a shame, folks. But there's one thing about it. The Gentile days are numbered with horrors encumbered as eternity is about to unfold. You've got lots of excuses why that you can't take time to be holy. Why that you can't come to church with expectation. Why that you can't enter into the service. Lots of reasons. But none of them is justifiable in the sight of God. When Elijah went away, there was no rain. No, not for a long time. There was no rain until he returned. Because he went away. There's a drought coming, folks, like you've never seen in your life. I'm not just talking to you. I've heard from heaven. It's moving over you already. There is a great drought coming. And there is a tribulation period of Elijah's 3.5 years when there was no rain. And when the dews of heaven did not fall, it was dry, very dry. And the Spirit of God will be lifted and the blood will come off of the mercy seat. It's going to be a horrible time. I saw how horrible it was. So horrible. I said before, so horrible that for many days, I never told it even to my wife. Many days. I never told it to the congregation. Daniel said, I had a vision. For many days I was sick. For many days I didn't tell it. You know why? It was horrible. I couldn't even stand the thoughts of going back reminiscing in it. There's a great drought, folks. The Spirit of God is going to be taken from you and given to another nation. A nation bringing forth fruits unto perfection. You're not going on to perfection. You're not making any special efforts toward God. You're contented. You're very contented. Some of you are willing to hem me up when we get out of here to sit and talk with me for hours. But you're not willing to do anything to help the congregation. get just a little drink of water or a little something. Not willing at all. But you're going to stop doing that. You watch and see. Brother Pius is going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop sitting around talking to you for hours and filling you up and feeding you and letting the congregation starve because of your unconcern. My wife used to say, I don't see why you'd do that. I said, you know that when you do that, then when they come to church, that the ones that would hunger is filled up and the others don't get anything. You don't have enough concern about the others. It's like somebody that came to visit today. They came to come to church tonight. But they got filled up. Got their answer from God. There was no need to come to church. They'd already been to church. And they went on their way just before church. Many, many times I've seen that. But God's going to take it from you and give it to another nation. One that's bringing forth fruits. Jesus told Israel one time, he walked in their midst. But they didn't receive him. They were busy. They had other things to do. They had no time for those kind of things. And he said, the Spirit of God is going to be taken from you and given to another nation. It was. Calvary came and he cut them off. And the Spirit of God left and went to the Gentile nation. And for many hundreds of years, God has worked. But folks, the closing hour of the Gentiles is at hand. God is going to close it out. You're going to scream and beg and plead and cry. But it won't do any good. It won't do any good. You've been resentful, haughty, hateful, contrary, gossiping, passing your opinion, telling everybody what you thought about it. If you didn't believe it, sit down and take the Bible and argue with somebody about it. Condemn everything that's said over here concerning me or what I say concerning others. You ought to know better than to do that. Jesus said to add one word to this book is to find yourself in the plagues of this book. Everything from cancer to leprosy. And to take just one word out of it, away from it, he said, is to take your part out of the book of life. But yet you cease not to pervert, to say what you think, or to do what you want to do. And make it sound the way that you want it to sound. People years ago wouldn't do that. They left that to the preacher. They didn't do that. They were sure about what they said. They were sure about whether or not the man was a man of God or wasn't a man of God. They made it their business to find out. And they had a reverence and they trembled at the word of God. My people don't tremble at the word of God here. I hardly have anybody in my whole congregation that trembles at the word of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you? I certainly do. I tremble and shake. I literally tremble and shake at the word of God. As a matter of fact, I tremble and shake so much at the word of God that I have to ask God to give me strength and help me. Not to get beside myself to where I can hear him and can understand because I fear him so greatly. But you don't tremble and shake at the word of God. You know why? You don't have the fear of God. Since you don't have the fear of God, you're not broken up to where the Holy Spirit can move. There was many things that I wanted to say this morning, but I couldn't say them to you. Jesus said a lot of things I'd like to say, but you're dull of hearing spiritually. You hear all right in the natural. There was many things tonight concerning present day happenings as of right now that I wanted to say tonight. But I can't say them to you because you can't receive them. Jesus said, he that can receive it, let him receive it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down
there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory. Can you sing it? Oh, glory to His wonderful name. Glory to His wonderful name. Can you sing it? Glory to His name. I'm going to tell you something, folks, and you can do with it whatever you want to. But unless you start praying, fasting, studying, and seeking the Lord, God is going to move the message out of your midst. Now you remember what I'm telling you. The work here in the natural is almost over. You don't understand. You haven't understood. And though I've said it over and over, you still don't understand. All of this natural work, I tried to express to you that it had a spiritual significance. And while it was going on, that there was something spiritual taking place. And that God was showing it by a natural activity. And that you needed to do something spiritually while the natural was going on, because something was happening. But it's almost over. It's almost finished. The natural work is just about finished. That means something has taken place. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful in my heart. Because I have Him. And because we have the fellowship that we have. I'm so thankful when I get alone in my room. And I enjoy His sweet presence. And though I pray for you, yet I know that you won't hear. You know why? The days of the Gentiles is coming to a close. You're going to become a lot drier than what you are. Some of you are a lot drier tonight than you was 3 months ago when I told you that you was getting dry. Drier and drier. The Spirit of God will withdraw more and more until there will come a time when you will say, "Blessed is He." Somebody said, "I think you make too much fuss over the preacher and over the Word." But there will come a time when you'll say, "Blessed is He." The Word of God is going to become so scarce through the land of a real man of God and somebody that can really get in touch with God. There's going to be so much confusion over who's right and who's wrong and whether God has spoken or whether God hasn't spoken or whether this group is right or that group is right. And the government's going to close in on the camps and on the groups to try to take over. Because of all of the evil that God has suffered to come into the different camps where people are using tax exemption, all those for personal gain, God's going to suffer the government to start closing in on them. Herod tried to kill that babe when he was born. And there will come a time when you'll, if a real man of God comes, you'll say, "Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." Nobody won't have to make a fuss over Him. You'll make a fuss over Him yourself. Rather than resent and find fault, you'll do like they did when Elisha stepped back from over Jordan. You'll run and fall at their feet. There'll come a time when the Gentile people will beg to get near a real, genuine Jew. A real, genuine Jew. All nations, America,
Africa, India, Germany, all of them will beg to get near just one Jew and near one true man of God. They'll beg to do it. They'll say, "We hear that God is with you." Something is taking place. When God spoke to me today about Brother Edgar Castleberry, so beautifully he spoke, so wonderfully. A fellow that seems to be doing nothing. One time was lit up with the glory of God. A man of fasting and of prayer. A man that God can speak to. Lit up with the embers of God. Die down. Something's going to take place. You just watch and see. God don't speak for nothing. When the Lord speaks, there's a reason for God speaking. But you don't listen good enough to what I say. You haven't listened good enough to what I say. A lot of times when I point you back, I say, "Do you remember that I said such and such?" You didn't remember. You know why? Because you wasn't listening. I'm not seeking your favor. It's like I told the men at the men's meeting last night. I said, "I don't appreciate anybody getting in my pulpit introducing me as Jesus." I said, "I don't appreciate any of you doing that. I don't." I said, "Because it hinders my service. It hinders my outreach for God. It gives that old critic, that old devil out yonder, something to gnaw on and to criticize and to find fault with. It also injures the little babes." But God suffers those things. You know why? To make the thorns and the thistles to show up among the people. God does that. I told him, I said, "I'm not seeking your favor." "No, not one of you." I said, "Because I want the favor that comes from God. I've got the favor that comes from God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got it. That's all I need. Your favor means nothing. Nothing. Whether you favor me or don't favor me, that means nothing. People favor you one day, the next day they despise you. They favor you if you've got money. When you get broke, they don't favor you at all. They favor the other man. I know the way the favor of the world goes. I don't want it. I have no desire for it. But I want His favor. And I've got His favor." Folks, some of you haven't got His favor. Some of you haven't got His favor. But you're going to need His favor. Hallelujah. You're going to need His favor. Let's sing that little song, "I Need Him." Some of you have taken the offices here and you made it a playroom. You've not really put your heart in it. You've not really done anything. You've just tied it up to where somebody else couldn't do it. Not really got into business with it. Some of you come down and taken a shovel to lean on it, not to use it, just to tie it up to keep somebody else from using it. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Today, a special thing has taken place today. A special thing. That's why the dryness was over the congregation tonight. A special thing. Let's sing this little chorus together. "I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every I need Thee. I need Thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. you only knew tonight what was here. If you only knew tonight who was here. If you only knew what was happening. You would be so different. But you don't know. Because having eyes you can't see. And having ears you can't hear. But you will know. But you will know too late. You will know. All of the words that I say to you someday will come back. When Jesus was fixing to go to Calvary, he said things to them. He said, you don't understand now, but you will later. He said, and you'll remember the words that I say. And so it was. When it took place, they said, we remembered when he was here, he said that. You will remember, and then you will know it was God. But it will be too late. See, it was too late when they remembered it, because he was gone out of their midst. It was too late. Because the wrath and the judgments was already upon them. When Israel recognized as the sender and soldier, when they looked and he yielded up the ghost and they said, truly this man was the Son of God, it was too late then. You're going to recognize too late what you've done. I want to help you, and I've tried to help you. I've really tried. Really, genuinely from my heart, tried to help you. But you won't let me. Jesus said one time, I would have gathered you as a hen would her brood, but you would not. Where is your faith, folks? You better get some faith. You better start praying. You better start calling on the Lord. You better get some faith. You know why you haven't got it? You've been backbiting too much. You've been gossiping too much. You know what has happened? See, as long as the Spirit of God is coming down, the bridegroom be with them, how can the children of the bride chamber fast? But when he's taken away, then shall they fast. In the days of grace, the Spirit of God is present with the Gentile people. Isn't that right? So they can gossip. They can backbite. They can find fault. They can come to church whenever they get ready and stay as long as they like, leave in the middle of the service. They can mess with the things of the world, still come and stand on the pulpit or on the sacred floor up here, rather, and sing, play, testify, and do the things they do. Still feel the Spirit of God. So they say, God, He's still with me. I still feel Him. But see, the rain is upon the unjust. It is upon the unjust. Sure, you feel the Spirit of God. Sure, He's still there. You can get up here and preach and feel Him. Even the ministers of Satan can do that. Transform themselves and do that. They can do that because the Spirit of God is upon you. The days of grace. The Gentile folks is running out. And then when the waters are cut off from heaven, then you'll know that you gossip. Then you'll know that you've been backbiting. Then you'll know that you played around with God. And then you'll know that those little foxes have spoiled your vine when you thought it didn't matter because you could feel the Spirit of God. Because then you will not feel the Spirit of God. For the waters will be cut off from heaven. And there will be a fountain open inside in the house of David. And only they that have the fountain will be able to water themselves. There will be no water from without. I saw a great drought. Everything was dry. And everything turned to powder. Something is about to take place. Something is already taking place with some of you. Then go on chewing the cud. Then go on smoking. Go on drinking. Go on gossiping. Go on backbiting. Go on finding fault. Go on saying things every time the preacher tries to say something. Go on resenting. Go on sitting in the seat of the scornful. Telling people you can slap their faces. Go on. Go on finding fault with the long dresses and with the ordinances of the campground. Go on sitting back there, young boys and girls, saying the things you do and being careless and unconcerned. Go on. But it'll all show up then. That's why we sang this little song. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your call on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar tonight. I'm going to pray for you before I dismiss. Some of you are in bad shape. You won't listen to me. You haven't listened to me. I've tried to help you, but you won't listen to me. You haven't listened. You're going to need him, folks. I bear your record. I've heard from heaven. I'm telling you the truth. It's not a fable. It's not a wild imagination. I've heard from heaven. Somebody said, oh, you're overconfident. I've heard from heaven. I know what he said, and he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. I've heard from God, and some of you are in for trouble, heartaches and woes. I've helped you up in my prayers. I prayed continually for you and helped you up. And you knew that I was holding you up. I've helped some of the young boys up. And they knew that I was holding them up. And some of you knew that I was holding you up in prayer. And you took full advantage to gossip the more, to backbite the more, to find fault the more, and to do things the more, and to let yourself loose the more. Instead of saying, Lord, that preacher's praying for me. God, help me to make an effort to straighten out. Help me, Lord. While somebody's praying for me, help me to try to do better. But you didn't look at it like that. Grace. I tell you the truth. Grace is not given to you that you can continue in your sins. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I believe God has given us grace. That means that God understands. And he's just going to let us go on because he understands we're weak. We're stumbling and we're staggering. We can't help it. God's going to help us. No, that's not what it is at all. Grace isn't given for that purpose. Grace is not given to you because you're weak and can't perform the things of God. God didn't give you grace so that you could continue on in your sins just because he loves you so much, knowing that you can't do it. That isn't why God gave grace. God gave a period of grace to keep from having to consume you with his presence, to give you an allotted time to repent of your sins and get straightened out and make your life conform to his way of life and to do the way that he commanded you to do. And when that allotted period of time is over, grace is going to be lifted. And the blood is going to come off the judgment seat. And when it comes off the judgment seat, you're going to go to hell. And you're going to be in trouble. And you're going to go through the tribulation. There's something that's happening. Somebody say, well, I'm waiting for the rapture. But I tell you just like Brother Branham told you, it's moving through your midst. And he said, you won't see it. The man said, it'll come right through your midst and you'll never see it. Why? Because the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Because you don't see it with your eyes, and that's the way you're looking for it. You see it through the eyes of your understanding, and that's what I preach to you this morning, the wonderful world of understanding. But you don't see it. You say, I'm sorry. Sure you're sorry, but not for your sins. You say, I'm sorry, Brother Pike. Sure you're sorry, but not because you did wrong. Then you say, why am I sorry? Because you can't go to heaven. Sorry because you're going to go to hell. Sorry because you're going to be punished. Sorry because you didn't listen and get the reward. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. He didn't find it. He wasn't sorry because of what he had done. He was sorry because he lost that birthright. He was sorry because when his dad said to him, son, I've already given it to Jacob, he couldn't get it. That's why he was sorry. Because he had squandered it away and waited too late. Folks, this thing is real. There's a Jacob in the land and there's an Esau in the land. And one of them's going to get that birthright. And one of them isn't. You say, who's going to get it, Brother Pike? That little Jacob that kept looking for the wheel. He wanted that birthright. That's all that mattered to him. Houses, land, whatnot. That wasn't what counted to Jacob. He wanted that birthright. But some of you would rather have your way. You'd rather think your own thoughts, do your own evil, say your own words, do your own thing. Gossip, satisfy that old feeling that just makes you want to fly up and get mad and have a temper and disobey the word of God by not honoring your companion and doing the things you commanded, by not honoring your parents, by not obeying your spiritual parents, by not having a desire to pray. You should pray. You should fast. You should be concerned. When you come to the house of God, you should enter into it with thanksgiving. How many of you tonight have a heart of thanksgiving? Well, I feel some of you here that don't have it, and you're raising your hand. You're raising your hand when your spirit testifies to me here that you don't have a heart of thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, you can't hardly keep yourself from resenting me and finding fault with me according to the testimony of your own spirit. And you still raise your hand. Even that alone is enough to send you to hell. The Bible said, lie not against the truth. I want to see you helped. But tonight, the Lord allowed the service to be dry, very dry. I never did feel the moving of the Lord through the whole service. Never. Through the whole service. Now, He was here. I'm His temple. He lives on the inside of me. He doesn't leave. But the angel of God came to me. He said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. So saith the word. But see, that doesn't matter. I couldn't feel Him moving tonight. You know why you didn't give Him a lodging place? I would like to have said tonight, what was on my heart to you. But I couldn't. I spoke to Brother Denny today about the dove that went out of the ark. It went out of the ark, but it returned to the ark also. You love for me to talk about Revelation. You love for me to say the things of Revelation because you love to hear it. But you don't love to endure nothing to get it. You don't love to be patient. You don't love to press in. You don't love to help me. You don't love to encourage me. You just want to get what I got. That's the selfishness of the world. Christ knows that you just want what He's got. That's all. But someday you won't get it, and those that love God will get it. Those that deserve it will get it. But I thought about Brother Denny. He left from here. He circled and he circled and he left and he went everywhere. And he searched and he searched. But he didn't find any place of rest. No place of rest. He said it was dry, Brother Pine. Very dry. He said there was no springs of water. And he circled and he went. And he went. Now see? Now look at the anointing of God now. Now why is the anointing of God here now when it wasn't here a while ago? You know why? Because you want those things. That's unfair to God. See, you want that. You know that's revelation. That thrills you. And you turn to lose. And as quick as you turn to lose, the Spirit of God reveals itself. That He's in our midst. But you wouldn't turn loose back there when I was preaching this word, would you? You know why? You sat in the seat of the scornful. You stood in the way of sinners. Your delight wasn't in the Lord, neither was you meditating in His laws. You hindered Him. You hindered His word. He's the word. You hindered Him. You despised Him and rejected Him. But when that revelation comes, you know that thrills you. And you want that. So you loosen up. When you loosen up, naturally the Spirit of God can be felt because He's been here all the time. That's unfair, folks. The Lord will get you for that. As I live before God, He'll get you for that. You starve the little babies out. You push them aside. The Bible said you muddy up the water. You push with your horns. And you push them out of the way. Will not I visit for these things, said the Lord. Said when you're fed to the full, every one of you neighs like a horse after your neighbor's wife. I got some neighers in here that neighs after the neighbor's wife. Women folk can't come around them without it being a reaction. You can feel a spirit then. You might not can feel the spirit now. But you can feel a spirit then when they get around the wife or the woman. Neighs after their neighbor's wife. But anyway, the Lord's going to get you. But I watched your stubbornness tonight. I watched your rebellion tonight. I watched when you refused to let up tonight. I watched it. You did it purposely. But you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it. But I watched as Brother Denny left from here. And he circled. But he couldn't find any place. There was no lodging place. He went out there to California. He went to Florida. He went to Oregon. To Arkansas. When you say ark, that rings a bell, don't it? But he couldn't find any place. I noticed when he came back, he had a dove on the front bumper of his car. I noticed he had a dove on his lapel today. Somebody would say, Denny McLean, a dove? Did you know that if a man has got the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is a dove? Did you know it came down on Jesus as a dove? Have you ever thought about that? Oh, somebody said that couldn't be Denny and his wife. Well, if you wouldn't recognize them, what about the little lady that's with them? Of such is the kingdom of heaven. That was a little lady that was with them too. See, there's no way to get around what God does, is there? What He does is done. You can't add to it or take away from it. But he said, Brother Pike, it was very dry. There's corruption in the world, folks. Everywhere is corruption. And when that dove went out of that ark, you know why it didn't stay out there? Because it was dead bodies floating around. The wrath of God had hit. How do you know that the wrath of God is out there and there's dead bodies floating around? Somebody said, oh, now, Brother Pike, don't be absurd. I'm not being absurd. John said, all of them people, when that beast come up, he looked at them, he said, them people was waters. All them people is troubled waters out there. And there's people that's twice dead and plucked up by the roots that's floating on them waters. Just floating around, rotten, blowed up, stinking. And the Holy Spirit can't find any lodging place among them people. You might go out of the ark, and you might journey here and there and everywhere. But you'll come back to the ark if you're a dove. You'll come back. You know why? Because you can't dwell out there. You can't stay out there. You can't stay out there, can you? And so he returned to the ark. He came back. But I've had some to leave that didn't return. You know why? Because there was some ravens in that ark too. And that old raven, he could just go out there and peck and pick and peck. That's right. All you need is a good offering and a nice car. And whatever you can get out of the people. The raven just kept on picking and pecking, and he stayed out there. He didn't return to the ark. But when you're a dove, you'll return. I saw some great things take place. I saw a prodigal come in today. And the Bible said that God or the Father prepared for him a feast while the others was jealous, finding fault. And they said, how is it that this fellow has gone out and he has devoured your substance with the harlots? And here he comes back and you prepare for him a feast. Jesus said, beware the drunkards and the harlots going to the kingdom of God before you do. For you said you would go, but you lied and you didn't go. You sat back and was stubborn and wouldn't even get in with the word of God and the stream of God. But he said the drunkards and the harlots said they wouldn't go, but when they saw the corruption out there, they repented and did go. Said, which one of them done the will of God? But I noticed today that the very place that we went to is referred to as the king. And when we went there, they've got on the menu what they call the feast. And that's what they served us today, is what they call the feast. I said, how is it that you prepare a feast? The redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. Some say, I just can't see that. I know some of you are blind and can't see far off. You're trying to reason it out in your head and in your mind. And you're missing the revelation and the understanding of God and what He's doing. It's like a fellow I was speaking of today. He's run all over California. He's been everywhere, just about everywhere. I've talked to him, but I've never understood what he was saying. Never. He thinks he's great. He thinks he's mighty. He thinks he's powerful. He's telling people how mixed up they are. And the Lord bear me record, I tell the truth. I never have understood anything he ever said. Never, though he's talked much to me. You understand what I'm saying? You try to reason things out instead of receiving the revelation by faith. That's where faith comes in. So then I saw something today. The dove returning to the ark. Something was taking place and something has taken place. Did you know when the redemption of the body comes, that means it's the end of the days of the Gentiles. Said it's dry, very dry. Said, can they live again? Said, you know, Lord, it's very dry. But Benny coming in today had a great significance. And Satan didn't want you to know it. Still doesn't want you to know it. And you listen to him. But there's a lot of things that I would like to have said tonight concerning today, what has taken place, and many other things. Things that I can't say. It's late now. The service is past and over. But folks, you're going to be sorry. Not that I'm scolding you. Not that I'm saying that I'm going to wish the judgments of God on you. That isn't it. You don't have to have the judgments of God to come upon you to be sorry. Just think if a man was going to give you $1 million and all of a sudden you realize because of foolishness that you lost it when it was right at your fingertips. Like the other night, there was a brother came in here and I felt for the man to preach. And I know he wanted to preach. But because of his way of doing things, he wouldn't sit still long enough and he left right when I was going to get him to preach. You just never know. The best thing to do is just watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. I'm not scolding you, because like I said, it's your loss, not my loss. It's your loss. It's your loss, not mine. God used you. He used Brother Denny. He has a way of processing us making us pay for our wrongs and using us all at the same time. My boy George Jr. was thrown in prison, but God was using him. All the time, the revelation of the Lord. Somebody would say, oh, Brother Pike, you just make those things up. You just say that because it's convenient for your boy. No, Joseph wasn't my boy. They threw him in prison, but the revelation of God showed that God was using him all the time. David of old committed an awful sin, killed his neighbor, took his wife, but the revelation of God shows that God was using him all the time. He didn't get by with his sins. He paid for his evil. The sword never left his house, but the revelation of God shows that while God processed David, broke him down and made him pay for his evil, took him down from his lofty place, at the same time, the revelation shows that it was perfect in everything that happened. You just never know, do you? Let's sing a little chorus together. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply.